The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories Project collects stories from residents who lived in the neighborhoods that were removed by the construction of the Innerbelt Freeway in Akron. This project is part of the City of Akron's efforts to transform the decommissioned section of the Innerbelt Freeway and to document a part of Akron's history that has been largely missing to date. In this segment, we hear from Donovan Landry. His family owned one of the most iconic businesses in the neighborhood. Ask anyone who lived in the area, and they will tell you the Custard Stand was the place to be. Mr. Landry shares with us what it was like to grow up working at the Custard Stand, how his grandmother came to own and operate the business, and how he remembers the neighborhood.
My name is Donovan Landry. I'm a guy who just owns a business out here trying to, you know. The business is Greener Grounds Property Maintenance. It's a property maintenance business. You know, it's only started, about 15 years ago. I think I left my job. Maybe it's been about 12 years now, maybe. My mother's name is Carolyn Landry. My grandmother's name is Ernestine Carey. One sister, her name was Tawanda. Tawanda's 4 years older than me. Tawanda remembers everything. And she was a kid that took a lot of pictures, too. She still takes a lot of pictures. But yeah, we were down there. We started out on, it's right the street, right before Bell. But my grandmother had a custard stand down there, too. And she had a home on Lillian. And then she had another block up, she had her home. And then she had the home right next to it. And then down Edgewood, she had the Custer Stand. And we were at 650 right catty corner to where the Custer Stand was at. Mom raised us, and then I think it was 15, right about 15. My mother moved out of state and I moved in with my grandmother. And I stayed there until I graduated.
Mr. Landry's grandmother had an entrepreneurial spirit at her core, and that spirit is what led her to the Custard Stand.
My grandmother was a beautician, and back then she did a lot of work out of her homes. And then she rented the first Custard Stand on Douglas. That's the name of the street. Because we lived on Douglas too. So right where there used to be a Custard Stand that sat right down there where, in front of where that tiling company is, down there. It's a flooring company. And then down there, they had homes in back of homes. So they would have a home in the front and they had a home, smaller homes in the back. And we stayed in the smaller home in the back, just right around from there. That place was torn down and she got the one on Edgewood and she started renting it from the Crooks family. They were the original owners of that place. And then she eventually purchased the place from the Crooks. She's down there for like 40 years. The legal name of the business was Parkside Dairy. Yeah. But the neighborhood named it the Custer Stand. That was something that came from, like, everybody in Akron knew where the Custer Stand was at. No one ever knew the name was Parkside Dairy. My grandmother made her own custard. And she made a lemon custard that you probably heard about, that was famous around Akron. Man, people came from all over the place to get that.
Ah, the lemon custard. I've heard a lot of people say it was their favorite. The Custard Stand was so widely known and loved, not just in the neighborhood, but all across the city, that it seemed to me that the family that owned it would have had an almost celebrity-like status. I asked Mr. Landry if this was true.
Depends on who you were messing around with. Like, a lot of the friends that I grew up with, we were just friends. They knew that our family owned that place. But I never really received anything crazy behind it. Where I received a different type of treatment was from people that didn't necessarily know. And then they found out, like, oh, this the grandson of this woman over here or this family over here, because all my aunts, uncles, you know, they were all working over there. My cousins was down there. Her grandmother had her out there. I'm out there cleaning up the yard and all kinds of stuff. So everybody seen us in the neighborhood. Everybody already knew.
But before he started working at the Custer stand, he was just a kid going to school like all the other children who lived in the neighborhood.
I think it was a close-knit community. I didn't feel any danger. I felt safe in the community because it was simple. It was a fight and it was over. You know, everybody go home and sometimes you play in the next day. You know, maybe the next year, but it's cool. I just remember when we were going to Grace, because Grace was like maybe two blocks from where we live. And that because a lot of kids walked to school. You know, all these kids in the neighborhood walked to school. Busing was not a, you know, nobody knew nothing about that. My sister was 4 years older than me, so I was in kindergarten. She was in fourth grade, and she would walk us to school. Then there were ladies across the street that would watch kids in the neighborhood. Because my mother worked a full-time job. So when she got home, we would go to their house until my mother got home. The biggest thing I remember about that time was I almost flunked kindergarten. Yeah, how do you fail kindergarten? My sister got into this thing where she was talking about, I'm not going to school today. So since our mother was going to work, she said, I'm not going to school today. And you know, you don't have to go. She would tell me stuff like that. We would stay home. So my mother got the notification. You know, she got notified a little bit later, like, man, this kid is in trouble here. And it was because of my sister. I just went to school and it was fine. Like, I wasn't the kid that really had any problems in school. My sister was a straight A student. But my sister was a strong-willed type of independent thinking kid. I'm gonna do what I want to do and that type of stuff, and if I think it's right, it's right. And she was older than me. I figure, hey, she knew what was best, and that's kind of what we did.
He remembers the neighborhood as feeling very busy and active with lots of things for the children living there to explore and do.
It was busy. A lot of interaction with people all over the place. It was people everywhere. Like, it was so many kids. I live in a neighborhood now, I don't see a ton of kids. It was kids everywhere. Kids play all over the place. They play. I mean, it was a lot of kids. There was a bunch of steps that went up, and then they had this big old, it went up the hill. Like, you could go all the way up to you could go up to East Avenue from Edgewood. Because there was a rock garden steps that went all the way up there. And then it was a huge patio that set up there. And people would be chilling out up there. They'd be doing other stuff up there, too. You have to watch when you go up there. But I spent a lot of time in those woods over there because I had dogs. And we played a lot of football. Used to be a field up there. There was a baseball field up there. We played a lot of kickball up there. We played a lot of hide and seek in the woods up there. We did a lot of racing. The kids in the neighborhood did a lot of racing. It was like, who's the fastest person in the neighborhood? So we did a lot of races up there. There was a part of that was called Snake Hill. Snake Hill went all the way from almost East Avenue to Edgewood, all the way down to Edgewood. And we built go-karts, and we would take those go-karts up to the top of that hill, and we would race. Like, if you're coming down, if you're familiar with where Euclid is, from East Avenue, that would be the top of Euclid, all the way down to Edgewood. We would race all the way down that hill, coming down, straight down to Edgewood. And then when you came by there, there was a little swimming pool that was there. It was a concrete swimming pool that used to sit right down, right where the tennis courts, a little bit back from where the tennis courts was at, a little bit further back. And the tennis courts was still there. tennis courts was at the bottom, and then it went up a hill. And so I spent a lot of time over there, man. Me and my friends.
And just like many others have said in the Innerbell neighborhood stories, Mr. Landry says the people and the businesses in the neighborhood really looked out and helped the people who lived in the community.
There was a land store that used to be up on Euclid Avenue. Yeah, Lens was a black-owned store. Good folks, man. That was the... My sister used to do them, too. Because my sister would go up there and be like, my mama said she'll pay you for this on Friday. And she would go up there and get candy for her friends. Her and her friends would have parties, and she would go get cookies, candy, and all kinds of stuff. You said my sister is a bad influence. My mother go up there on Friday and take care of her bill. Wondering like, what in the world is this going on? But they did stuff like that, you know. They took care of folks. My grandmother was like that. She took care of folks. Like if somebody was hungry, she knew they was in trouble. Man, she would feed them. You know, it wasn't no big deal.
I asked Mr. Landry what his favorite memory was from his time working at the custard stand, and there was one specific event that quickly came to mind for him.
I think it was when I convinced my grandmother to have a block party. Because I had been down there for some years, and I was a popular dude in the neighborhood. So a lot of people came up there because of me. And so I was talking to my grandmother. We were kind of thinking about stuff, and I just told her, I said, you know what we should do? Because at that point in time, I had a friend, actually was dating my sister. His name is Bert Ville, and he's a DJ. He still DJs now, calls himself Cooley G. We were doing some stuff together, and I said, you know what, man? I should talk to my grandmother and see if we could throw a party down here. You know, we get out here, get some, you know, get the turntables out and do some mixing, some scratching. So I talked to her. I said, okay, but grandma, during this time, you know, not only because we sold food, footlong, hamburgers, hot dogs, that type of thing, fish sandwiches, steak sandwiches. I said, but let's throw some barbecue in there. So I'll barbecue up the meat, because at that point in time, she had started having me do a lot more barbecue. And we had began to sell a little bit of barbecue down there. So I was the one that was grilling. So we'd throw some grill out there and go ahead and go. So we went till about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, yeah. And that just, I mean, no legal permits, no fights, no problems, no police, you know, nothing along those lines. Because the next thing I told her, I said, we got to feed the police for free. You know, I said, Grandma, if we feed them on lunchtime, now you have a presence around here all the time for pennies on the dollar. You're giving them a meal. So what? You know, I was a guy that kind of stretched a little bit in that area.
Since the custard stand was not directly in the area that was lost to the construction of the Innerbelt, it survived well into the 1990s. The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories are produced by me, Roger Riddle, with additional editing this episode by Flaco Torres. Our executive producers are Liz Akbu of Studio O in the city of Akron. Our music is by Flaco Torres, with additional sounds by Become Stardust. Special thanks to Summer Hall, Caleb Thurman, Dylan Garitano, Mike Meyer, the Ohio and Erie Canalway Coalition, and a very special thank you to the Reconnecting Our Community Advisory Committee.